بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Around 1980 or so, this place here, the real Adavis, you can't be near, you won't be at a distance. I'm watching this carry on, but I felt ashamed just to speak to you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ So I had to go to India. I suppose it was to go and meet Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So I asked my one friend to accompany me to some travel agent that time. It just started. Indians are getting travel agencies. So, and it was good that I took him, because it was difficult for me to speak directly to a woman. Or there was some Muslim woman there, dressed in shorts, no scarf. So now, this friend was used to that type of life, so he could speak to them. A little bit free in his ways and styles. So this woman went to do some of the work and explained to my friend that it's a Friday, it's dressed up like this, at least respect the day. So she in turn, no, he in turn mentioned it to that girl. That's okay, this Mulana says, it's a Friday, you're supposed to be dressed at least some respect. I'm waiting for the tamasha now, what's going to happen now? So she says, what is what he knows? I know about tariqat, I know about shariat, I know about haqiqat. And you know my sheikh is in Pakistan or India somewhere. And he has conferred to me so much of treasures. He gave me all his tabarukat, his shawl and his whatever else, given it to me. Everything has got a definition, a reality behind. And if you don't know these things, you're going to be playing, guessing, playing, speculating. Like in every other science, you will have someone guessing, playing. In this also, this is not an exception. If you got the resource on one side, that's genuine from Allah Ta'ala, then you got Musaylama al-Kazzab, that is an imposter posing himself as a Nabi. But you get the genuine and you get the forged, the fake as well. So you must have, in this field also, you must have the genuine and the fake. Hazrat Ji gave one story, you know. So one person was eager to know what is shariat, tariqat and haqiqat. And with illustrations people understand much easily, much more quicker. So this buzurg told him, alright, you go to this masjid here and you'll find in each corner you'll find one person engaged in zikr or something. First corner, second corner, third corner. And when you see them, you must give them a tap on the back. A little bit of a hard shot. So he slapped the first person. That person got up and equal to the injury, he returned the slap. And he continued with the zikr. He went to the second person, gave him a shot also. That person just looked for a moment and he carried on. He didn't interrupt his tasbih or his zikr, he didn't interrupt, carried on. Then he moved on to the third person. When he went to the third person, he gave him a little bit of a harder shot. This person stood up, took his hand, he kissed it, sorry, you're not hurt. And then he carried on. That first person was acting within the parameters of his rights, parameters of the Sharia. جَزَاهُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The recompense of an injury is an injury of equal injury. You hurt me, I hurt you equally. So he's acting within his rights, parameters of his rights. And the second person was too soaked into tariqat. So he received the injury, but he's so soaked, he's so absorbed, that he's not paying attention, he's like oblivious to what's going around. So that's what tariqat requires of you. You get so soaked into it that you're oblivious now, what's going on? It's not my business. It's carried on. So this is the second person. And the third person now, it escalated to haqiqat. Haqiqat is now, he's seeing the hand of Allah Ta'ala. But now, as though he's there, but he sees in everything, he sees the hand of Allah Ta'ala. This or that. Poverty or wealth. Sickness or health. Prosperity or adversity. And behind all that, he's seeing the hand of Allah Ta'ala. So when he sees the hand of Allah Ta'ala, now his behavior is totally different. So, in his mind, how he's seeing things is that it was the hand of Allah Ta'ala that has hurt me. This person was the instrument, but it was Allah Ta'ala that did this. And perhaps in so doing, he must have hurt himself. So he smiled, kissed his hand, apologized, and he continued. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to observe Soma Visal. Soma Visal is continuous roza without any iftar and sehri. Continuous. One day, second day, third day. He continued. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanuti rahmatullahi, he was engaged in a debate. Right? I think the person that he was engaged with was Saraswati, a popular Hindu at the time. He was engaged in a debate. So anyway, it was meals time. And at the meals time, you know, you stop for lunch and each one has to arrange for his own meals. So Mawlana just got one khadim with him and he's arranging whatever little roti or whatever. In the meanwhile, that khadim is seeing the khidmat that is done for Saraswati, that is the opposition. There are a whole dozen of people working under him, and trays of food is being served to him. So he feels that perhaps Saraswati and all his khadims will eat big trays, so much of food and sweetmeats and whatever else. Then he discovered, oh, he wiped everything himself, one person, everything he wiped. So he's talking to himself, saying, you know what? I'm sure if our Hazrat has to engage him in debate, he will wipe him out, right? But if the challenge is about eating, I can't see what's going to happen here. The challenge is about eating, I can't see what's going to happen. So anyway, this reached the ears of Mawlana Qasim Sahib, Nanuti rahmatullahi, this is what his khadim had said. So Hazrat asked him, what did you say? And he felt embarrassed. So this is what I said, alright. He said, see, an achievement, right, perfection is achievement, is in things of perfection. Right. And eating is not a thing of an achievement, not an achievement. I eat so much, but not an achievement. Why? Because that's not perfection. If that was a perfection, an act of perfection, there couldn't be anything more perfect than an elephant, right? It can eat in one morsel what five people eat together, right? One morsel can eat one whole loaf. Five people need to finish that, and the one elephant will finish it itself. One morsel. So if it is that the challenge is about food, then I'll put an elephant next to him, next to Saraswati, and that will show, you know what, this is where you stand, and this is where the animal stand. Yes, the perfection is not eating. Why? Because that is a trait of the malaika. Malaika don't eat. When malaika don't eat, then, and you're not eating, then there's a close semblance with the malaika. And malaika is the purest creation of Allah Ta'ala. So if you're not eating, and I'm not eating, then there's a resemblance. But I'm eating and you're not eating, there's no semblance with the malaika. Right? So, if there is a challenge, the challenge must be on acts of perfection. So, right, I won't eat, let's see if you can accept the challenge. But Qasim Sahib, rahmatullahi, could live without eating 6 months. The love of Allah Ta'ala had permeated. Allah Ta'ala kare, ke, humne bhi kuch chaska lag jaye. I was showing the Dora boys, you know, the Nabi Sam could fast so long, one day, second day, third day, all the duties, bayan, Quran Sharif, namaz, zikr, everything is done. And with all that, that Somu Visal is going on. So he could do it, why? He was really, really soaked with the love of Allah Ta'ala. Soaked in the love of Allah Ta'ala. So the poet says, وَذِكْرُكَ لِحَبِيبٍ خَيْرُ شَرَابٍ وَكُلُّ شَرَابٍ دُونَهُ كَسَرَابٍ. You know, the beloved, when the beloved is in the heart, it's the best drink you can think of. It's the best drink you can think of. You know, the drink, when you talk of wine, it forgets you, it makes you forget of everything else. So the discussion of the beloved is the best wine you can think of. And every drink besides that is just a mirage, it's just an imagination. See, that's Allah Ta'ala. Everything besides him is just a mirage. Just there, plays its role and it's gone. Mawlana Fakhruddin Sahib, rahmatullahi, it was the last, what, 1970 until 1970 or so, it was the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Diyanat, right? So, he says, it was the barakat of Hadi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, that people don't have to go through so much of mujahada to reach now. Now, Allah Pak, through the barakat of Hadi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, has made this path of suluk very much more easier. Otherwise, in the past, people had to go through a lot of difficulty in reaching up. And now Allah has made it very easy, very simple. So I was looking at this statement, and then it dawned to me, right, what is the more important thing? In this age and time, then to reach Allah Ta'ala, what is the more important thing? By the same word that Azharji Rahmatullah used, Yagdar gir or muhkam gir. Hold on to one and hold firmly. Then don't waver this side, that side, speculation, reading what he's saying and what he's saying in the internet and what the Google is saying and what Falani is saying, So your mind is not glued on one thing. So you don't have a steady journey. Having a rocky journey, this way, that way, you're rocking. Vomiting, rocking, spewing up, go to hospital, come up. So doesn't this delay the whole process? So just hold one and carry on. Do the homework, do the inventory, who's the better person for you. After that, hold on to him and then don't look around. And was crying away, got his hands up in dua, crying away. Allah Ta'ala, all your creation, they're going to Makkah, Mukarramah, sab Madine ko gaye, hum reh gaye, all are gone to Medina, we are left here desperate. Allah Ta'ala, I am such a small little thing here, insignificant as I am, right? Will a day ever come around where I can come to Medina, I can go to the Haram, do Hajj, go to Ziyarat for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Can it ever happen? Such an insignificant little thing like me, how can I ever go there? I can't even dream of this. So the pigeon of the Haram, saw this thing here and felt pity. Says, alright, there's a way. The way is you tuck yourself into my feathers. Tuck, and you hold firm. Then don't look at earth. Just close your eyes. Just hold on to me. And don't move. Don't move right. Don't move left. Just hold on to me. Now, one ant went to look. Pigeon is crossing Indian Ocean. Hey, what's going to happen? And that thing started rocking. When that thing started rocking, right, it lost the grip. It fell down into Indian Ocean. Lost everything. Lost this side, lost that way also, right? And the other one said, no, I am told, I may just hold firmly. The one that is taking me knows the path, inshallah. By the grace of Allah, he knows the path. My niyat is right. The driver is the right person. He's taking me across. He's instructed I just hold and I hold firmly. You know, as the plane takes off, right, then you are required to behave yourself. Right? Now if some person amongst the passengers is misbehaving, running around, clapping, jumping, doing a lot of things, right, the captain will come, steward will come and warn him. And if he carries on, the first stop, they'll blacklist him and they'll put him off. Won't they do that? So even a kafir plane also wants a certain level of discipline. So the mashayikh wants some level of discipline. Hold on and don't look around. Don't listen to this one, that one, this book here, email, b-mail, Muslim ummah and all that. Don't look at anything. But you got one, just look at that. Hold on. The idea is to get on, escalate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're going to be looking here, there, this, whatever. It's going to create a confusion. And the ride is going to be rocky thereafter. You're not going to be confident in what you're doing. So you're going to procrastinate. You're going to delay the whole process. Yahkam, yahkam, gir. Yakdam gir, muhkam gir. Hold once and hold very firm. Then don't let go. So now, the path is still the same. But الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا. Allah Pak has relaxed the laws, right? Why? Because He sees the weakness within you, right? If it was your great grandfather, say in the seventh generation, right? And I'm sure he'll see you and think, "Why this rainbow shaker? Where he came from? He must have been so strong, riding on a horse, got his sword, whatever else, right?" And like a Tazan he is, right? And today he says, "Hey, what do you say that? No strength, no stamina. What is wrong with these people?" So for them, 200 years ago, they required to have that stamina, that strength, that might. And Allah Pak saw these people are all declining. So we maybe looking big. You know, well, Ilyas had to refer one student to the doctor. So the doctor put him onto the scale. You get a doctor coming every day. Yeah? So, why is telling me, you know what? We put the doctor put him onto the scale. So the scale is only showing 50. But for his size, so I asked the doctor, but what happened? So the doctor is saying, no, man, that thing went right round and then came to 50. So that's what where we are. So big in size, but no gumption, no taqat, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Allah relaxed the laws because He saw the weakness within us. And now I say, all they ask you, but just hold from me. With the cheer, with happiness, with an open heart, and just come. Strong. Just strengthen this. And then you see how one thing after the other, it just works out. فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever you've got, whatever wealth you've got, it's just a temporary convenience. Don't gloat onto it and don't boast about it. Just a temporary convenience. Then you come here, convenience, Allah gave you something according to your temperament, according to His temperament, He's got it. Now, it will be really miserable for you if you are miserable of what you have got and aspiring for what He's got. Imagine you're sitting in the plane. Hey, that man, hey, see what he's got, man. And see what I've got. Won't you feel miserable in the entire journey? So what was appropriate for you, Allah gave that to you. What was good for him, Allah gave for him. Right? Don't look at him, you just be happy with what you've got. And you see, your whole ride will be comfortable. But the moment you're comparing yourself with him, that's a recipe for disaster for your own journey. See, your whole journey in this life will be a journey of disaster. So the easy way to make it enjoyable, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me more than I deserve. And I must be like that bird that instructed that ant, that don't look. Don't look this side, don't look that side. What he's got, what he's got, don't look. In fact, as the Mawlana Thaymi Sahib Rahmatullah says, don't even discuss and compare your spiritual halat with the next person, beside your sheikh. Because if you discuss or you relate to someone else, you have two problems. One is this, because you don't know your spirituality, you will feel, hey, that person is going so far, and I'm nothing. I'm a kebab here. Right? So you feel of yourself. But you don't realize that you have made much more progress than this person here. Now you judge me, what have I done? I got nothing. You may think that it's humility, it's not humility. But that's become, it amounts to ingratitude. But he did everything and I got nothing. That's what you think. I made nothing. So you think that you have made some progress by showing humility, but really it was ingratitude. So you don't discuss. Besides your sheikh, you don't discuss. Don't even compare what he's got against what you've got. Do what you're supposed to do. Carry on. How much you can manage, you carry on. Don't compare. So you must have that feeling of gratitude and that feeling of appreciation. What Allah Pak bless me, I don't deserve it. I got much more than what I deserve. So he wants you to be grateful at any given moment, any given second. You must show the gratitude. You must show the happiness. I'm happy with Allah, what you've given me, much more than what I can bargain. Rather than having a complaining mind and a tongue. What he's got, I'm not blessed like that. فَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's just a temporary convenience. Nothing more. So don't consider that to be the perfection, that to be the goal, to be the target, to be the thing that I need to aim for. Not at all. I must work. Allah wants me to work, so I'm working. But that's not the goal. It's just a convenience on the road and I need something to just keep me cheered up, my family, etc. It must be cheered up. And I must be happy to continue the journey. That's enough. I don't need much more than that. I don't need anything more than that. That is why, see, the one that recognized the journey the best, the one that recognized the journey the best was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says in his dua, I ask you, anybody here, that the greatest feeling you got is for who? For your dependence, right? You work, you strive, you go through your paces, difficulty, for who? For your dependence, wife, children, parents, if they are alive, right? That's your goal. But they mustn't say that, you know, man left us with nothing. So that's what's playing in your mind, right? So any person, any human being, his greatest concern is his household, his dependence, right? That's the greatest concern. If it were not for them, you wouldn't have worked. It's because of them that you work and leaving something comfortable for them so that they don't complain that you took the joy from us, but no return. Right. So, the person, the being, the personality that understood the whole picture, the best was Nabi Sassan. So Allah showed him the world and the hereafter. Allah showed him both, complete. Allah showed him the whole picture, so there can't be anybody who understood this equation better than him. And then every person naturally loves his own more than others. Definitely, everybody loves his own more than others. In spite of all this, when he raised his hands in dua, he says, Allahumma ij'al rizqa ali Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quwwatan. Allah Ta'ala, our roti, just make it enough. You know, we just break even. We need so much of roti and so much of boti. So much roti and so much of boti. We need this too. Allah, enough. Broke even. It's alright. In this verse, you must remember, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, don't fight with the house. Don't shout, don't fight, don't scream. Don't bring them at the level of piety as you are in one stroke. If you want to be very thrifty and very, very, very closed-handed, etc., and very, very hisab, you know, then don't expect that same standard within your five, within your wife and your children. They mustn't waste all right, but now they spend a little bit more, let them carry on. You have to control everything, everything. Right. So what's going to happen, they will feel that the main thing is to save money. Namaz, zikr, ibadat, being kind, etc. That is the secondary thing. The main thing is this thing here. So you will create a little bit of aversion, a dislike, a hatred. It will be very subtle. They cannot express it to you because they are your subordinates. They can't speak about it. But it's within their minds, it's lingering. So when this hatred comes in, so they want you to be away from them. They don't like your company. Because this is how you talk, this is how you reason, this is how they see you. But it's a little bit of an open, alright, open check. Carry on. So open check, do as you want. How they feel? They feel nice. They'll look after your things. They won't waste. Or one, two things, they may do a little bit more than what they're supposed to be doing. But now you've closed. So it creates an aversion, a dislike. A man doesn't appreciate us. We give our life to this man here. And this is how it treats us. The idea is the whole home must go to Jannah. Not just you. Why are you being so selfish? So, they will cooperate, they will come on board when they are happy. But if they are feeling constrained, constricted, we have to do this, now will they do things with the happy, with the cheer? They won't do it. Now, a man has been made the leader, a rijalu qawwamun. Man needs to think ahead, advance. So please, for Allah Pak's sake, don't fight. Don't shout at them. Allah Pak has relaxed everything. Al-ana khaffafa Allahu ankum wa alima anna feekum da'afa. He realized, he sees the weakness day by day, it is falling. So he sees the weakness, and he's relaxed things for you. So why don't you relax it with your subordinates? Man shaqqa, shaqqa Allahu alayhi. You're going to be difficult, Allah Pak will make things difficult for you. You've got one thing that you covered, now second difficulty, third problem. But you made things easy for them, they find life enjoyable, they want to do things, and overall Allah Pak will make things easier for you. It will take them time, but they see you to be a good person, nice person, humble person, open-handed, let them do things. How nice they feel. But they want to do things, they want to cooperate, they want to be with you. Right? So, فَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's just a temporary convenience. Let that not be the goal. By the way, I did this as well. أَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. But the thing that you need to strive for is things that are with Allah Ta'ala. That is lasting. That's permanent. Right? That, there is no intermission. There is no interval, no interruption. Yeah, the best services will have an interruption, right? Like, you know, if I some notices, lights, water, the best services in the world will have an interruption. And Allah Pak says, مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُ ours is eternal, is lasting. No interruption, just escalating all the time. Today, if the service rises, tomorrow is all the better. And again, every day is a new experience. Every day is bringing a new adventure, a new excitement. Now you see, you had that wife now 30 years now. Enough now. Jannat is not like that. Dohi ni tege, right? She's exciting. She's just bubbling more and more. The beauty is just increasing. Brightness is just going on. Now you're looking even better than yesterday. And the third day is even more exciting. That excitement is just going, just growing. You see that? So that's akhirah. The fruit that you're eating is just the excitement, the adventure, the experience is just expanding all the time. Something else now, man. Something else. So, really understand, believe that the pleasure Allah Pak has got is more than the drops of water of the ocean. Imagine one drop of the ocean is one pleasure. So the pleasure that Allah Pak has got in store is more than the drop of the ocean. One pleasure, one drop. So imagine what he's got. Believe. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْ لَا تُصَدِّقُونَ. Why don't you believe us? Why we have got it? Why are you running after this thing? Why you talk about these things? Some woman had made such progress, men must dream about it. As Rabia Basariya, just two incidents I remember for now. Right? So two people came, like Sufis now. They came and they're talking dunya, jifa, dunya is a cursed thing on the side of Allah Ta'ala. And they're talking about dunya. So what a bad thing it is, right? So the Rabia Basariya rahimahullah, she said, that you get out. I don't want to see you people. What wrong have we done that we deserve this type of treatment? We are speaking out against the dunya. And the dunya is a thing that is miserable, things of misery. So we spoke against it, we condemned it. What's wrong? Really, if you did dislike it, you would have spoken about it, right? Number two, excreta, you won't like it, right? But you talk about it, so bad it is, and this looks like this, and you talk about it, the shape and the appearance, etc. But now see how she's escalated. See where's her understanding, her recognition of Allah, that really, if that thing had touched your heart, you would have spoken about it. You're speaking about it, it's a reflection of what's in your mind. You will love it. Hazraji gave the story, repeatedly he gives the story. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi is the contemporary of Hazrat Rabia Basariya rahimahullah. That means around Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in's time. So they are on that time. That's the height now, right? Now, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi has reached Makkah Mukarramah. Now, one is the Kaaba Sharif, And one is the special light and the noor, the jalli that descends. Right. So Ibrahim bin Adham is noticing that I can't see that special tajalli of Allah Ta'ala that comes onto the Kaaba Sharif, and comes onto the precincts. I'm not seeing it today. So he asked Allah Ta'ala through a dua, I used to seeing that tajalli that is descending, but where is it gone to? So anyway, he is told that tajalli is gone to receive Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahimahullah. Hey, what I thought it was, where she is? That he went to receive Rabia Basriya Rahimahullah. By appreciate your wives. Maybe what is a Rabia Basriya? Right? But now, if she is going to a hall and mall and dressing up all miserably, don't say that she is a Rabia, right? She may not even be a Sadisa, not even a Khamisa, right? So don't say that. If she's doing Ulta Sida, then get her right. But Ulta Pesh can't carry on long, too long. Must come right, right? So appreciate them. One of them are much better than we are. One of them. One simple example, I think, of most of our Muslim women, right? Most of our women, right? Compare yourself against them, right? If you are stranded without a wife, right? Say 1, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, she's gone for 2 hours, confinement. How many of us can say that our minds won't wander in a lot of stupid things? Mama, this one, yeah, that one, all the mind will go all overboard, right? And you leave your wife in a house for 2 years, she'll still remain in the same corner, mind not wandering at all. So many things they put you off, put you away. They're so clean at heart. But that's the beauty of a Muslim woman. A mind can't even go in that. Hey. And your mind, just give you 3 days, see what happens. What happens? With all fairness and respect, but really, in some matters, in modesty, shame, etc., they surpass us miles away, right? So anyway, at length, Rabia Basriya, Rahimahullah, she's come to the Kaaba Sharif. Now Ibrahim bin Adham is, hey, but you know, this time around, I came here, right to the Kaaba Sharif, and I'm used to seeing this tajalli of Allah Ta'ala coming in. And I was told that the tajalli came to receive you. What happened? So she says to Ibrahim bin Adham, you see, continuously on the path towards, you are performing namaz, every couple of steps, couple of kilometers, whatever, making nafil namaz, 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, all the time you make nafil namaz. So, your head was touching the ground all the time. All the time, your head was touching the ground. And mera dil sarb sujood tha. And the whole journey, my heart was in total submission and prostration to Allah Ta'ala. You were doing a physical act, and spiritually I was right down. So the heart gets rewarded accordingly, and the physical self gets rewarded accordingly. The whole nucleus is the heart and the mind. Everything else is just a reflection of the heart. So my heart was down, and you were just doing it, you were just going through the motions. So you see, there she is. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُ أَبْقَى. So what Allah Ta'ala has got in store, really that's the thing that you must aspire for. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. The ones that want to aspire, want to score, these are the things. Other things, what are you aspiring for? What are you rushing for? What are you racing for? فِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. These are the things that you must run for, aspire for, work towards. In the words of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Can there be a word as truthful as the word of Allah Ta'ala, who sees everything, who knows everything? Who doesn't fear anything? Nothing he fears. Nothing comes his way. Nothing is an impediment for him. He does as he wills. He can't be stopped. He can't be pushed. Nobody can manipulate. Everybody else can be driven, can be manipulated. Things can happen to them. Allah Ta'ala, no, you can't do it. So, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُ أَبْقَى. Really, that scene of the akhirat just dawned upon us for a moment. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Excitement is such of the hereafter. Surah Kahf, you read, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. You don't want it to change. You know, here, that's something now, have something else. There the joy is so great. You know, it's so thrilling that you don't want to change. What's going on now? What's going on? And it's so thrilling, it's so exciting, it's so adventurous. It's only to continue. لا يبغون عنها حولا ما عند الله خير وأبقى. Then again, لا يمسهم فيها نصب وما هم منها بمخرجين. Here in this world you get tired of things, right? There no tiredness, absolutely. You're still bubbling, exciting, still jumping, jiving. So that jiving and the jumping and the excitement is just carrying on. You don't get an explosion. Here you try and excite yourself more than what you can, then the engine can get seized up, can't it? Can't the engine get seized up? Your heart can just explode. There it just carries on. No tiredness, no weird. You don't get tired at all. It just carries on, excitement. But now, then how do you become a recipient to all this joy? So Allah Ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ آمُنُ. The first step is iman. Get the iman right. Don't let the iman be contaminated with anything. Don't let it be affected. And the right iman is that which is coming from above, the original iman. Now with all these new theories from Google saying this and whatever else, why, they are not your teacher, they are not the Nabi, they are not the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So don't take them as the teacher. No matter how far science has gone, but they are not the teacher. The teacher is Allah Ta'ala, is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba-i-Kiram, they are teachers. So don't let your iman be interrupted and affected with anything. In two ways. In one way is, there's new theories now, sometimes evolution, sometimes Darwinism, sometimes Big Bang theory, right? All these type of things are coming up. And they're giving it in such an exciting, thrilling way that it must rock your iman. It must affect your iman. But leave this thing. Leave it out. If you can, just tear it out. Pull it out of the syllabus entirely. Right? And if you are in a mess, then ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Ask His protection. Don't do it for a moment. Don't look at it. Don't look at it as a theory. Don't look at it as a belief. No. I hate this thing. I resent this thing. I don't want to do it. Allah, you protect me. You forgive me. Don't let it ever haunt your iman. Don't let it affect your iman. Otherwise, now there are a lot of people that are going to the whole circular system, and after that, they become whatever, professional people, but the iman is already affected. How do we come to terms? How do we reconcile? But are they the teachers? Are they the instructors? Are they God? But you just went to the whole system just for money, right? To have a little bit better lifestyle. That's what you went for. So just go for a lifestyle, not for them to interfere with your iman. They are allowed to interfere with your iman. For a lifetime, right? Earn a little bit more. Nobody's stopping you. But they mustn't affect your iman, nor your culture, nor your thought. Your thought must be only influenced by Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They mustn't influence your thought. They are there just to show you how to earn a little bit more money. Carry on, learn, but we're not stopping you from that. But they must not for a moment influence your thought, your iman, your heart, your culture, your ways, and your thinking. That must be influenced straightly. So they give you the shape. Right. One person, one friend of mine was here. So he says he received some of his relatives from America. So maybe they from South Africa. So they went to stay there 1-2 months. And after 1-2 months or 3 months or 5 months, so they came back. Now they're speaking with the twang, you know. So now he asked them, just quizzing them, you see. But if, say for example, you went to Pakistan or India, will you talk with that twang and come back? So that means you're suffering from a complex. That this thing here means something great for you, significant. And Pakistan means nothing to you. So therefore you can't talk in that Pakistani dialect. You talk in that dialect. See that? Isn't that a poison? And I ask you for that dialect, do you get anything? Any reward? Now you speak with a dialect now. Any reward for that? No, dunya ka, na deen ka. Yeah, someone gets this thrilled. Hey, this man, look at this man. Really American, man. So he talks. That's the only thing you get. But besides that, do you get anything else? Nothing. You still have the same kebab. Right? Aren't you? So don't get affected with these things here. It's just a style, it's just a show. It's nothing more than a show. If you are going for deployment, whatever you are, they're not going to worry about your twang and all that. Yeah, how competent you are in the work that you do. Are you competent? They'll take you on the basis of your competency, not on the train. You get lost into all these things here. مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So get your iman right. Don't let any foreign thing, alien thing come into your iman. Right? So your iman must not have anything that is undeclared. Imagine you coming to a custom and you're coming undeclared, undeclared stuff, unofficial things. Aren't you the problem? Iman is as important as a passport, as a visa. Now you smuggled yourself into the country, right? Undeclared, the papers all smuggled and faked up, right? You got a lot of money, a lot of good work you were doing in the other part of the world, right? Wherever it was, a lot of good work you did. But you smuggled yourself, smuggled your money, unofficial, undeclared. There's a word around that this is all corruption. Through corruption you've got. You come here and you got all this wealth through corruption. I ask you, what will the police do to you? South African police comes to know, you're not going to be worried about your wealth. Go to prison or we deport you, one of the two. Will they give you entry, access? No. So iman is like that. So don't allow any alien thing, anything that is alien, don't allow it to your iman. No matter how exciting it seems, it mustn't come and interrupt your iman. It's undeclared, it's unofficial. Allah Pak has not declared this thing here. He has not recognized this. So I can't just let this come into the luggage of my heart. It is just the pure iman that I have got from above. My grandfather, the great-grandfather, what iman they have got, the pure, clean iman. I mustn't allow anything to affect it. Now this sheikh is saying this from Egypt, and he's saying from Turkey, and he's saying from this one, or that, if I leave all that. Just see what you got originally from above. What came true, pure, uncontaminated. Don't let that iman be affected for 1 second. No matter which Google is saying it. By Allah Pak is your creator, Rasulullah is your teacher, Sahaba-i-Kiram are the instructors. You left all these people and you went through this thing here. Yeah. When you made to lie in the grave, and when Nabi Sam is asked about ma kunta taqula fi hadha ar-rajul, you will see that the Google said this. Will you say that? Yeah. No. There you say, no, I got this from above. That this is my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From my grandfather, my great grandfather, this is my reference. Right? So leave these things out. Don't get your iman affected for anything. So anything that will interrupt, anything that will dilute, will contaminate your iman. Oh, you're not sure about it, but just leave it aside. No matter how fascinating the theory seems to be, but just leave it one side, throw it out. Now then you need to see, but then what brings about the perfection and the sweetness to iman? What is the contamination? So this, call it suspicion, call it speculation, call it superstition. Whether it's Darwin or whoever, his grandfather. But it's either speculation, it's either guesswork, or it's just a shot in the dark. You know about the thing, leave it one side. Now what you are sure about, what you got from above, the Quran, Hadith, take from, that's the source, that's your reference. So that's the one thing that's going to strengthen and protect your iman. The second thing that will bring about the perfection. See, one is the iman, and then you need a perfection to perfect it, right? So imagine you need to travel from here to Cape Town, for example, right? The istima that you're going there, right? So you need a vehicle. So without the vehicle, you can't move, as though iman is the vehicle. But what will bring about the perfection in the journey is how well the car is maintained. It's maintained very well, it will give you a good ride, right? Sometimes I tell the boys, you know, some of them buy some second-hand cars, old jalopis, and right on the rear, you got a tawakkal. So I ask them, I challenge them, you know, if you bought a brand new Mercedes, will you ride a tawakkal behind? Only when you, you know, in the sakarat, that is tawakkal. You're supposed to be trusting Allah Ta'ala in both situations. Not when you got a old little car, when you say tawakkul, and when you got a brand new thing that you don't put a tawakkul, what's in business? So now what's going to bring about the perfection in that iman? One is the iman, one is the perfection to that iman. So I say 3-4 things. There are a lot of things that will bring perfection. Get your amal right, right? That's main, right? But what's going to bring about the real glitter and the beauty? So it's kindness, it's love, humility, and respect. Kindness, love, humility, and respect. Now how does it pan out? through an illustration, you understand the whole story, right? Someone came for employment to your shop, right? So he's working there. Now, as is the first thing that he needs to recognize, he must recognize that this is the boss. I must take from him. I cannot instruct him. He is my boss. I need to recognize his position, his status, that this is the boss. He has got the right to instruct me. I don't have the right to instruct him. No, that's iman. Now, for example, now the worker doesn't recognize the boss. He doesn't recognize the boss. He is ignoring him. He is disregarding him. In fact, he's making statements against him. Will the boss be happy with him? Yeah, you go. I don't need you. He must recognize the boss, whoever it is, whatever the boss is. But you must recognize. That's the first requirement. That's iman. You don't recognize him, then you know where, right? Now, so the first is the recognition. But now I need to see that I have a perfect and a beautiful relationship with the boss. Now, what will bring about the perfection? So there will be a couple of things that will bring about the perfection. Now, just an illustration to make you understand, right? See, for example, there was some mess on the floor near the boss's office, right? And he himself was cleaning up. And now the worker saw it, right? So he did not ignore the boss. So, boss, please, stand aside. I will do it, don't worry. So the boss said, no, it's my, no, please, you know, just give me the honor, I'll do it. So he rolls up his sleeves, he washes everything, cleans it up. Boss, thank you, you know, you gave me the opportunity. How the boss will feel for him? But what was the catalyst in this? Number one, it was his humility, right? Number two was his appreciation that's my boss. Number three was the act of kindness. No. He's my boss. Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Mathwai. He's been so good to me, so kind to me. And let me show him the kindness as well. Let me return the kindness. Let me humble myself. So he needed to show the humility. He needed to show the respect. He needed to show the kindness and the love. Now, how's the bond? Was, hey, you my man. You my man. Won't he say that? So, the perfection of the iman are in these type of actions. Level of love, respect, humility. In the house, now, if everybody is tight-lipped, right? Tight-lipped, they are very orderly. I say, will that house be running how it needs to run? But there's a little bit of love, there's some humility, there's some respect, there's some appreciation now. Hey, I want to go home and see my wife and my children. They love you and you love them. You respect them and they respect you. They are humble, you are humble, right? Isn't that a good ground for the house to thrive? The land needs certain ingredients for that thing to flourish. The hearts need some things for the heart to flourish. They need this humility. Now, we are looking for the hearts to flourish in wealth. Take them here, take them there, and whatever else, and we want the hearts to flourish. Don't. Love, respect, appreciation, humility, kindness. These are the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. How clear this is. You can't get the iman right. You don't have that mutual love, that respect, that regard. Try anything what you want. Try to be the most intelligent person. Win all the arguments with them. And show them that all the arguments are all flawed. But you're not going to win them over. But you show a little bit of happiness, appreciation, love, kindness, respect. How you win things? How you win? Turn things around. Now they want to cooperate, want to be with you, they respect you. You overlook the mistakes like you did. Like you didn't see it. You did as though? Like you didn't see it. See the Quran Sharif? What's the ayat? وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهَا وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. Maybe some got to know some mistake, right? There's a mistake. And the mistake was about reaching Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love. But in that now calculation they made a mistake, right? عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهَا وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. Nabi Sallallahu was inspired that this was the story. But he had to now bring it to their attention. This is a mistake that you have made, because it's an inspiration, it's a revelation. But when he got to know, then he didn't try and see this. He didn't like take them to the cleaners, like what when we were trying to show them the mistake, take them like rock bottom, you know, you did this and this and this, and we'll scrape them the furthest we can scrape them. You know what he did? Arrafa Bada. He's instructed to show. He just showed them at the surface, hey, you made a mistake, yeah? Wa'aradam Bada. And he didn't show the whole mistake. Turn it away. That's akhlaqun nabawi. Now we want happiness, we want love, we want respect, we want the house to be flourishing, but we want it calculated according to our calculations. Can it work? So you see that لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So the iman requires, one is that don't allow any contamination, anything foreign, anything that is alien into this iman. Right? Number two is now to bring about the perfection, the car you got now, and you want it to take you a safe journey. So get the things of perfection in the car now that is giving you a safe journey. But you don't do that, you don't work towards that. How is the car expected to take you safely? You'll have problems all the right through. Like you got the house, but you don't show love, respect, humility, and you want the journey of that house to go well. How is it going to go well? Can it go well? You tighten up, they tighten up, you're just doing like a statue and a robot, and they're like a robot, they're the house. Is there going to be any muhabbat and understanding? So, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَبَكَّرُونَ. Second thing is, so that kindness can continue, that love can continue, that respect and appreciation can continue, when you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karne wali zaat to Allah ta'ala ki hai. The one that does, makes things happen is Allah ta'ala. Otherwise I'm showing kindness with a matlab, right, with an agenda. I want to be kind towards them, because tomorrow I'm going to invite 20 people to the house, so they'll see me right. See, one thing for the other. I'm going to invite 20 people, so they must see me right. Today I'm very happy with them. Tomorrow now, you know, I'm going to get 20 mehmaan to see me right. So, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Right, Mala? Right or not right? Batlab ki dunya hai, isn't it? You all got agendas. So, it's just based on trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَزَرَعُونَهُ. Look at the beauty of the handiwork of Allah Ta'ala, that seed that you sow into the ground. Do you cause it to sprout, split, spring up and grow up, develop into the different stages? Is it your work? Anybody, any scientist can do it. Nobody can do it. It's entirely the work of Allah Ta'ala. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ. That human seed, do you create that thing? Can any scientist, anybody, you see, no, we rougher scientists, we have reach here and make more progress. Why? Make progress to the day of Qiyamah. Before your grandfather and after your great grandson. You can't get it. You can never get it. It's exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't even understand what's the meaning of life. Give me, tell me what's life. What is death? You can't understand basic things that you come into contact every day. Where do you want to understand Allah ta'ala? فَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. So he causes it to sprout, to spring up. Right? So don't you see his hand in everything? The sensible thing was to trust in Allah Ta'ala. You open up the business. Right? Is it your job to turn the tired clientele towards your shop? It's your job. Allah Ta'ala turns it. He makes it. You can see it. You can see it every day. But yet, نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْ لَا تُصْدِقِينَ. We made this thing. Why don't you just have the heart to believe in us? لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Second requisite. The third requisite, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. They leave out major wrongs. Alright, one, two mistakes here and there, made Allah make us maaf. We didn't see where we're supposed to be seeing. Such a major mistake, right? So we don't justify the wrong. Wrong is wrong. We don't justify it. Whatever it's worth. But for a moment, we don't try and appease our conscience, justifying the wrong. Allah is wrong. One in a million chance, it's wrong. Allah hands up. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi. I'm hands up. I do accept my mistake. I recognize my fault. I don't justify my wrong. I recognize. I confess. I'm confessing. I'm acknowledging. So doesn't Allah like that? So that you justifying, trying to work out a permissibility for the wrong that you have done. Allah doesn't like that. He can throw you out for that. There you are, coming humbly, respecting him, recognizing your mistake. Even though it's a million, one in a million chance that you have made a mistake, but you come out, Allah, I made a mistake. I can't find a mistake, but I know it's a mistake. It's my wrong. You do forgive me. How How happy would Allah feel when you say, when you're not justifying, when you're recognizing, when you're acknowledging your mistake? لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَرِمُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And with special reference to indecent, illicit activity. Wrong, one is major wrongs, but special mention about illicit activities. That means that illicit things are much more worse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, he made a special mention about that. Why did Nabi Sallam say, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And from all the branches of Iman, Nabi Sallam singles out haya and shame and modesty. That means you got this right, you got everything right. That haya can also talk about respect, talk about modesty, talk about illicit relationship. But it's such a all-comprehensive word. You got that and you are moving. You're covering distance. But the catalyst is the shame, modesty, respect. That's what it requires. See that? Nothing illicit, nothing shameful, nothing immodest, nothing immoral. Right? Now, the world is such nowadays that you have to talk to women sometimes over the phone, sometimes straight, whatever. So I say, you can avoid it to the best of your ability, you avoid talking to them directly. And when you can't avoid it, then short but not sweet. Normally you say short and sweet, eh? Yeah? Short but not sweet. To the point where you finish class, go, move on. Don't go one word overboard. Just short and sweet, but not short but not sweet. So that auntie will say, but the Molana is very strict, eh? It's alright. Then that auntie saying, but the Molana is very sweet, eh? Very sweet person. That's dangerous. Isn't that dangerous? Very dangerous then. If she says, you're very sweet, that's very dangerous. يَجْتَرِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. When they get angered about something, then they don't go overboard. They forgive, they overlook. They think to them, right, we also are making major, major problems. Allah Pak is just covering all our mistakes. He's just pushing it under the carpet. Why don't we push us under the carpet? When Allah Pak is forgiving major, major wrong, you know, our eyes are going to wrong places, ears are listening to the wrong things, then He's doing so much for us, and can't we overlook the mistakes of others? See, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. Karo meherbani ahle zameen par, kare meherbani khuda arsh-e bari par. Show mercy, love, respect, forgive, overlook faults to the people, and Allah Pak will forgive you. He will show mercy to you. But now you want to take them for everything, every small thing, and you want to interrogate them, you want to scrutinize them. And if Allah Ta'ala, they Allah Ta'ala scrutinize you, then you won't have any face left, I say. No face left. Never mind, mistake, class, don't talk about it. Allah Pak knows, I know it. Class, end of the story. Because Allah Ta'ala can expose you as well. Can't expose you. One small mistake and He exposes you, takes you to the clear. Tomorrow kya ho jayega? So think to yourself that He can also expose you. You taking people to the cleaners, you want to take them to task, Allah Ta'ala can do the same thing. So the type of treatment you want from Allah Ta'ala, show that treatment to His servants. You want love, kindness, forgiveness, then would these servants be kind, love, respectable? Right? How great this thing is. One friend was telling me, he's the head of a body corporate, right? So maybe about 50, 60, small homes, cluster homes and all that. So one non-Muslim woman, he's parked incorrectly. So he's the head, so he had to caution her, you're not parked correctly. So she wrote a long letter, very nasty and all that. So now he got worked up, but then he, Allah gave him a tawfiq. So no, my apologies, perhaps my approach wasn't right. But I did this because, you know, people may complain. Hey, she just turned overboard. Hey, I'm sorry, you know, I've been so rude to you, impolite towards you. But you see the akhlaq of Nabi Sallam, forgive, overlook, just push under the cupboard. And in a moment, بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِي أَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيُحْمِ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. You just showed some kindness, respect, akhlaq of Nabi Sallam, and you just capsized the person straight away. Allah Barakatuh Fi Nasibah.